All right, guys, we are live back again on the Fight Bananas podcast. I'm Dave Van Auken, awesome guest today. I'm so happy to have him. Jesse Nunes, CEO, founder, Elite Amateur Fight League. How you doing, my man?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Doing great, man. It's an awesome week so far. Fights are back. The UFC, a lot of stuff kind of brewing in Florida with big promotions and regional shows. So I'm super happy to kind of get the world back going again, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're still pretty locked up here in the Midwest, but real happy to see that Florida took a lead in getting the sports world back up and running. So very excited.
Very cool, dude. Okay, let's kind of start. Ryan Quinn was on the show last week. Love talking to Ryan. Been on the podcast numerous of times. ATT, coach, a lot of connections. And he kind of has been talking to me a little bit about Elite Amateur Fight League. And I love the idea. Probably around a year ago or 10 months ago, even on this podcast, I talked about some kind of brewing idea of there's no roadmap for fighters, and especially amateur fighters. There's just none. There's, you know, you play basketball, there's AAU, know, you kick, but you go to high school, all that, and you go to Duke or North Carolina, you play 1 year and you go to the pros, and you just, that's just, there's a roadmap. And then when he told me about this, I was like, I like this idea a lot. And then, you know, he was on the show, talked about it. And then you reached out to me to really kind of more dive deep into it. So I would love for you to start. I love the origin stories. I'm a big comic book guy, Avengers guy, Iron Man. So I would love for you to start and take it away, my man.
Sure, man. So, I mean, to your point, there is really no roadmap to get to the top for amateur fighters. And there's a lot of disparity in amateur talent. Right. It's the difference between the quarterback at Notre Dame and the quarterback at Small Valley State and wherever, right? I mean, there's a huge difference in talent. And it's the same thing with MMA. You've got guys that are going to be on their way up to the UFC. And you got other guys that are going to be local champions at best. So what we decided to do 5 years ago was fill a gap in this awesome industry that we all love. We love MMA. It's the fastest growing sport in the world. And it absolutely at the very top end has become one of our leading sports in the United States. But it's still very young. It's only 25 years old. So The development of the sport hasn't yet reached the point where the NFL is 100 years old, right? They've had 100 years to get that thing right. And before the NFL, there was college football. So they're not even, you know, the people who created the whole football organization and industry, they came after the NCAA did. And with the NCAA basketball tournament, I mean, how do we know who Steph Curry is if there's no Final Four, right?
Right, so, Davidson.
Exactly. And so the point is MMA, the sport that I love and that you love, didn't have that level of competition. 5 years ago, we were out concepting a show similar to what people would say a Tap Out was, right? We wanted to find the up-and-coming fighters, get to know them, record it, show clips of their fights before they made it big. And while we were filming that show, we noticed really quickly that, man, there's awesome, talented fighters in every region, but they're kind of confined to that region. So, you know, we'd go to Omaha and the Omaha promoter says, hey, my 145 guy, 12-0, best guy in the country. This guy's going to the UFC. He's the guy. 20-second fight, obliterates his guy. Very cool. I thought I had gold at that first show. Then we go to Indianapolis. Hey, my 145er, 11-0, best guy in the world. This guy's going. Same exact story in Illinois, in Indiana, in Wisconsin. Over and over again, we were recording the same show. So then I thought, oh, we missed. We need to find a promotion that has all these amateurs fighting each other, right? Let's find that promotion. And we looked for a month and couldn't find not one promotion that was out there matching these top talent amateur guys to fight each other. And so then we called the promoters. I'm like, hey, man, what if we brought that other champion over? And he can fight on your show, and it could be champion versus champions. Awesome idea. Bring him here to Omaha. So then I call the Indiana guy. I'm like, hey, man, how would you like to go to Omaha? He's like, they're not going to pay for me to go to Omaha. And no, I want to fight at home. And that promoter's like, yeah, I love the idea, but he's got to fight here. And it became very apparent that regional MMA is, at some level, very promoter-centric. It's about the promoters bringing opportunity to the fighters, and they do. They do a great job doing that. But it all has to live in their little silo for the promoter to be successful. And I get it because I'm a promoter, right? I mean, local promotions are needed to get these guys to be 11-0, 10-0, 7-0 champions. But once they've reached that point and they've beaten everybody in the regional circuit and they have no one left to fight, at some point they've got to travel to fight in other promotions, and no one really wants to pay an amateur to fly from Omaha to California to fight their best guy. And then that guy in California may not even want to, fight the best guy from Omaha. He wants another, I wouldn't call it easy fight, but he wants a less competitive fight in California against the guy, right?
And Jesse, let me interrupt real quick. I'm getting all these great questions and stuff, and I love where you're going. I still want you to keep going there. If I could break in and just say, if Devil's Advocate, they just went 7-0, 8-0 in their little region, right? California.
Yep.
What's the sauce for them to go, hey, I'm just going to turn pro now. What I mean? Like, I put my 7-8-0 here. I did what I had to do. I do want to turn pro. You and I know how to grind on the amateur scene. And of course, at the end of the day, they do want to make money. They all want to be Conor McGregor money. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
What's that sauce that you're saying, hey, maybe not go pro yet. Come here to the Elite Amateur Fight League.
Well, I think the coaches know what's best for them as far as going pro, not going pro. And if you have a fighter that's, let's say he's 7-0 regionally, and out of the seven fights, he's had one competitive fight. The other six were 20-second fights, which we've all seen, right? We see these standout athletes with the 20-second fights. Is that guy really prepared to be a professional and fight a pro-level talent? And that's like saying in Notre Dame football, they play all their games at home. They play only Indiana schools. And, of course, they're going to be 7-0, right?
Right.
Quarterback ready for the big time? Is he going to get signed to a big-time contract as an NFL quarterback if he's only beaten Ball State and Indiana? And they've only played at home, by the way. They only get to play at Notre Dame Stadium. And that's why I think the value of a pro fighter or a pro athlete on football and basketball on those sports is so much more. They get signed multi-million dollar contract as rookies because they have the exposure. They're a household name. Everybody knows who they are. Everybody can't wait to watch them play at the next level. And MMA doesn't have that. So here's your choice. You can become a professional and get paid $500 to fight at a regional promotion where you sell 200 tickets and there's only 300 people in the building in front of nobody, and you're a professional. Or you can get on television, fight in front of millions of people, build your name up, and now you have value when you become a professional, right? Because now you can go to the pro ranks with the following and with an opportunity to make some real money. And maybe not stay in that regional circuit as long because people know who you are. I mean, as much as a lot of us MMA enthusiasts hate it, look at CM Punk. Was CM Punk ready for the UFC?
No.
Absolutely not. But why did he go to the UFC? Because he had a name, he had a following, and he had value for the UFC to put him there, right? And I can't hate on that. That makes a lot of sense from the professional standpoint. What we want to do is give legitimate athletes that opportunity that CM Punk had. That he didn't. That in my opinion, he wasn't ready for.
Great points. I love that. I think you nailed it. You mentioned the quarterback of Notre Dame a couple times, and I think I'm going to take this angle here. I love that you're saying that. And the quarterback of Notre Dame, they're going to get sacked. They could get hurt and all that. It's not like an amateur fight, and not like MMA. All the coaches tell me there's only one guarantee to be an MMA fighter. You're going to get injured. You're going to get hurt. It's going to happen. So I love that you're saying that. It's you're almost kind of setting them up, right? You're trying to build them up the correct way in the right way. And, I really like what you're doing. I think this is a really good vibe. I'm really loving it.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Well, and we know it's a very dangerous sport. Right. And following the regional circuit for years and doing the shows we've done, we also produce shows for other promoters as well. So we've been around. But I've also seen the really talented high-end prospect get knocked out. Like it happens. Like you can go take what you think is an easy fight and still get knocked out. Like anytime you get in a cage with somebody, they're dangerous. And so just because you think their record is 0-0 and you don't know who he is and it's going to be a walkthrough, it's not always the case. You're at risk to get hurt no matter who you fight in any cage.
Right. Absolutely. So the 155-pound fighters.
Yep.
Are you really trying to – is there a couple weight classes that you're trying to, zoom in on? Is it, one weight class, welterweights, or is it heavyweights, or is it some of the female sides, or is it just all abundance? Ryan told me about, trying to get a team But sometimes, you know, it's hard. There's not a lot of heavyweights out there. There's not a lot of UFC heavyweights. So to get amateur heavyweights is it's nearly impossible. I've been around the scene a little bit too. It's hard to get amateur heavyweights.
Well, to your point, I mean, we don't have a heavyweight division. And when there they are amateur heavyweights, they fight maybe two amateur fights if you get two of them out of them. So they're not going to be around for a whole season. Didn't make a lot of sense to put heavyweights in. But we bend our format around what you would see out of a NCAA wrestling duel. Right. Okay. So they have a fighter at multiple weight classes and it's a point structure and everybody fights under one banner. So we go from 125. We have a 135 weight class. We have a catch weight at 140 because there's a lot of fighters between that 35, 45 fight range.
Okay.
Then we have a 45, 55, 70 and 85. And we've introduced females between 115 and 125 as well last year. Okay. So what we'd like to do is fill a team of seven fighters. And those seven fighters are going to fight out basically an MMA duel and they get points on how they finish, right? So if it's a finish, the team gets 6 points. It's a unanimous decision. The team gets 4 points. It's a split. The team gets 3 points. The team with the most points moves on.
Love it. Love it. I love that you're, you know, bringing in new stuff. It's the MMA game and promotions are ever changing. Another thing we've been hard on here on the Fight Fanatics podcast is open scoring. Yes. Just, you know, we've been adamant about it. The Falcons and the Patriots, unbelievable Super Bowl. Tom Brady's on the way back. Imagine if you didn't know the score. Imagine you didn't know who was winning, Patriots or Falcons. So in MMA, after the round, I don't think it's brain science. It's blue corner or red corner. 10 seconds. Like, I don't think maybe you give the guys or girls extra 15, 30 seconds to get out of all that situation. I don't think it's that hard. Are you guys intrigued or interested in having an open scoring and kind of being a little bit of the trailblazer on it?
Yeah, I would love to. But to be honest with you, that comes down to the sanctioning body in each state's rule. Okay. And it's going to come down to this state will do it and this state won't. So if we have an event in Florida, that will do it. But we have an event in Indiana that doesn't. Like, we have to have the same rules across the board for us. I'd love to see open scoring myself. But that's really not our position. We're not a sanctioning body. We're not looking to change or make rules. The only thing we're implementing is our dual scoring format, which we can do because each fight is still scored individually, and we're not changing any of that. And it's a 10-point, you know, my system, just like every other fight. And the winner of the fight, you know, they get an individual record. So even if your team doesn't win, you can still win, and your record will show that. But yeah, we're as much as I would love to see open scoring. I don't want to pick a fight, and I'm not looking to get it to throw my hand in that ring just yet. You know, for our format, we'd love to see it, but I think there's a lot of headway that needs to be made by the UFC and the bigger organizations to get that passed. And they're definitely going to win that fight much quicker than I am.
Right, right. We're going to talk about funding here in a second, but one more question kind of before funding. It's almost on the same wavelength. Are you guys, you know, going for a streaming service? How are you guys want to be seen? Are you guys super happy with how you are now? Or you would, you know, just say UFC Fight Pass, let's throw that out there. You know, would you love to be on a part of a UFC Fight Pass or a flow something of that nature?
Yeah. Right now we're on NBC Sports Regional Networks and it's worked for us because we're based out of Chicago. And so, you know, we get all our stuff on NBC Sports Chicago. Wherever we have a team in other regions, we have the opportunity to broadcast there as well. But obviously, that's our starting point. We want to grow. We want to be bigger. We'd love to work with NBC on a national level if they want to work with us. But if other opportunities present themselves, they're absolutely going to take it. You know, so with UFC Fight Pass, we've spoke with them in the past. They don't seem to be interested in amateur MMA. Okay. But with things the way they are right now, that could really change because there's not a whole lot of other stuff going on.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I really believe the level of competition and the content we provide is top level. We have the best amateur fighters in the country. As you know, we got American Top Team. We got Jackson Wink. We got Alpha Male. We got Team Quest out of Southern California. Fight Ready out of Arizona, where Henry Cejudo trains in that group. Like, these are top level guys that are going to get to the UFC at some point.
Right.
In contrast to some of the other promotions that are on UFC Fight Pass, we're the regional pro fighters that will never make it to the UFC, right? So there's a difference in story that's going to be told. Everybody watches the NCAA basketball tournament. Nobody watches single-A baseball on television, right? And the reason is, is that's a fourth tier professional product, that's single A baseball, that probably will never make it to the pros, right? You got some guys that move up the chain really quick and get to the pros. But the reason people watch the NCAA basketball tournament is they know that the top guys in that tournament are going to end up in the NBA, and they want to see where they come from. And that's what we can offer. We can offer the top tier athletes as amateurs that are going to make it to the UFC, and you get to see where they come from. These aren't guys that are going to stall out in the regional circuit.
And so after they, let's just use the word graduate, after Elite Amateur Fight League, win or lose in 9, 10 fights, they feel like they're ready, feel prime, coaches feel good. Where do you think, what's the next step for them? Is it those big promotional regional scenes that are have UFC Fight Pass deals? Do you like that angle? What promotions, or is it more on their coaches to find the next step, that promotion to get them to the UFC?
We are going to do as much as we can to help them get up the ladder, but obviously it's going to come down to their coaches, right?
And
where they want them to fight. And, you know, we're not coaches. They know them much better than we do. They know what they're ready for. Our job is to give them the exposure so that they have value. Right. That's my job, is to make sure they're on television, make sure people know who they are, give them the most exposure possible, then give them the best competition to feature their talent. That's my job. As far as their future and where they go, and I've been asked a lot, like, are you going to represent them in the future? Absolutely not. They should get a great coach, and then that coach can either act as their agent or get them a great agent. Like, I don't want to change that part of the sport. We're not looking to profit on the young guys coming up. We're looking at creating a level of competition that gives them the most, gives them the best ability to move forward with value behind their name. That's what we're going to do. If we can do that, everything else will work itself out.
Right.
I'm not looking to become an agent. I'm looking to just provide the best platform in the country for amateur fighters to compete on.
Love it. One thing you're nailing on too that I absolutely love, and it's like an underrated part of the fight game that maybe fighters don't know because they're younger. Amateur fighters are usually younger than, right? And maybe their coaches, and they can get told the wrong things. If I'm an amateur fighter, I would want to fight the toughest boxer. And then over here, the next fight, the toughest wrestler. Then the toughest BJJ guy. It's you start 0-0 when you turn pro. Exactly. You know, sometimes it's better, you know, yeah, it looks better 9-0 or 9-1 or 10-0. And, you know, 6-5 or 6-4. But if you got those tools in the shed, every time Francis Ngannou, everyone's like, oh, man, he lost to Stipe. He fought him for 25 minutes. He has that in his toolbox now. He's got that. That's a valuable part. Maybe that is a huge reason why he's on the tear he's on. So I want the amateur fighters, it does them no good to fight a 4-6 guy when they're 7-0 and to roll through them. It doesn't help them career going forward. They're going to get smashed, like you're maybe saying, on especially that regional scene, as soon as you turn pro. So I love that you're putting the best against the best. It's the best thing for the fighters. It really is.
And like I said, I will always defer to the coaches when it comes to what their fighter is ready for. But the day you go pro as a 7-0 amateur, you get paid no more than the 5-5 amateur does on a regional circuit. Right? It doesn't matter that you're 9-0, you're 10-0. You know what matters to a regional promoter is how many tickets you're going to sell. That's what matters. He's more likely to put a 2-7 guy that sells 200 tickets on his card than a 9-0 guy that doesn't sell any tickets on his card, right? And if that's the case, it doesn't matter what your amateur record is. What matters as an amateur is that you get the best experience and put all those tools in your toolbox so that when you go pro, you can ascend up the ladder quicker. And then on top of that, if you can get exposure as an amateur so that you have value to your name, that maybe sell some tickets and maybe sell some seats or maybe sell some pay-per-views because they know who you are and you're talented, that's the mixture that we're trying to perfect. We want talented guys to have the exposure they need so that they have value to fight for bigger promotions in the future.
Right. I love that. So if fighters, amateur fighters are fighting for you guys, they're in the season, you know, Ryan Quinn was talking about American Top Team during the season or during the competition, right? Can they leave and fight for another promotion in state and then come back?
Amateur fighters, we don't reserve the rights to contracts to amateur fighters, right?
Okay. Right.
They can make the coaches are going to make the best decisions possible for their fighters. And the coaches we work with, I believe in them. I know they will. I know they're looking out for their fighters.
Right.
With that being said, you know, you have a choice. Do I want to get hurt possibly fighting at a local show in front of 200 people where no one knows? Or do I want to save myself for maybe an extra month and fight on television and get the exposure I need for the Elite Amateur Fighter League. We leave that choice up to the coach and the fighter.
We're
not going to tell them what to do, but we just, I believe if we supply a superior product, they'll always wait to fight for us.
Very true, very true. Yeah, I would love for you to hit on the whole WeFunder, talk about that, and really how people can get connected. And you were saying about the fans becoming, you know, part owners, and I would love for you to take that away.
Sure. So, you know, with us growing and us, you know, gaining traction in the industry, we've spent 5 years growing this product into a legitimate league. And at this point, we think we have the right sauce in place. We know we've done the right things. We've got the right coaches. We got the right fighters. And it's time to scale the business. And to scale the business, I can no longer bootstrap the thing. We've got to get to 32 teams quicker than I can fund it. And so we were kicking some ideas around. We've always had investment opportunities with bigger investors that want to come in and buy a piece of the league. And they never, I never felt they understood our product. They wanted the return to be very, very quick. You know, they wanted to sell it off really quickly. And that's not why I created this league. I don't want to sell this league. I feel like I'm going to do this for 25 years. I love what I do. I love the format we're building. And I'm not looking to do a quick changeover and sell. So we've always passed up on the bigger investment guys because they just don't understand what we're trying to do and why this platform is needed. And so with that being said, we're like, man, we still need to raise some money somehow because there's no way to get to scale as quick as we would like to with the money we have. And so a friend of mine that's in the investment arena says, hey, man, check out this crowdfunding that people are doing. I said, I know what crowdfunding is. You buy a T-shirt and you're a supporter of something, or you buy a product early and you help them develop the product. He said, no, there's something new. There's equity crowdfunding. And I said, well, what do you mean there's equity crowdfunding? He's like, now you can invest into a private company and get equity instead of a T-shirt or the product early. And I need you, you should really look into it because I think it's something that would fit well with the Elite Amateur Fight League. So we looked into it, and absolutely, man, this it's a great idea. You know, it's everybody always wants to support an up-and-coming brand or a product or get something early for cheaper. But at the end of the day, the Elite Amateur Fight League and equity crowdfunding gives fans an opportunity to own a piece of a budding sports league. And we are literally the only sports league in America that's offering ownership to fans. So we opened it up on WeFunder.com. WeFunder.com is an SEC-approved website. The things we had to do to get approved by the SEC, it took 6 months to get all the paperwork filed, to get all the books evaluated by a third-party CPA, file the books with the SEC. They had to give us all the clearance for us to do this. This just isn't a website where you sign up and say, hey, we're raising money. Send us money. We'll give you equity. This is a legit SEC-governed equity crowdfunding platform. And so now, after going through all the work, we want to sell off 10% of the Elite Amateur Fight League in round one. We got a pre-money evaluation of $5 million. So we're selling off $500,000 worth of shares, and fans and even professional fighters can become owners of the Elite Amateur Fight League.
Wow, that's awesome. That was kind of what I was going to go. So right now you're at 10% at a time. Mm-hmm. And would you give up all 10% to even one person?
We would, but then we would close the round, and because we've already sold that, you know, we've already sold some shares. But whatever is left up to the 500,000 in round one, we'd be open to. And obviously, if it was a special circumstance, if it was a Mark Cuban, then we are, you know, our eyes would open. Yeah, maybe we can sell more than 10%. But you know, it has to be someone that aligns with our vision and understands that this is the league that's going to be around for a while. We're not looking to sell it off. And, you know, it has to be the right investor to get a really bulk purchase, a bulk buy of what we're trying to do here.
Right. Hey, man, Shark Tank 2021. We might see you in the tank.
Maybe. Well, we have some revenue built in, although this coronavirus is killing 2020.
I know.
We had 975% growth in our revenue stream between 2018 and 2019. We were looking on doubling that in 2020. But now, you know, with not being able to have events and really being shut down for live events has obviously put a damper on our revenue stream. We were starting in March of 2020. And of course, you know, that's when everything got shut down. But there has been some silver linings. As horrible as this COVID virus has been, and it's affected us immediately in a negative way by canceling our events. It's also given us opportunities to talk to broadcasters that maybe wouldn't have talked to us before because they have no sports content. And it's given us an opportunity to talk to companies who sell media rights that maybe wouldn't have talked to us before because they have no media rights to sell, right? So I'll let a little cat out of the bag. We've been in talks with Octagon. I don't know you know who Octagon is, but they're number three in the industry for selling sports media rights. They're a huge giant, and they're very interested in the Elite Amateur Fight League, and we're negotiating with them to get a bigger broadcast deal done on the back end here during this time where, you know, content is king and has a lot of value.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it perfectly. It has been. It's been a tough time for the last 55, 60 days before this week. And us, you know, here at Fight Bananas, it's the silver lining. More people are at home watching and listening to podcasts and shows. We've had an unbelievable 6 weeks, you know, kind of 2-3 weeks ago, we had a combination of John Anik and Laura Sanko and a couple of really big guests. And, our downloads quadrupled six times than they usually did before this whole virus. So there have been silver linings. But let's probably maybe end it on this. And then if you wanted to nail something at the end that we maybe didn't hit on, what's the game plan moving forward? I feel like we're almost there. We're at phase one at a lot of different places. We're here in Florida. I think early next week or a couple of more days, we're maybe going to start opening up MMA gyms. So we're kind of getting there. What do you think, if you can, or if you do have a game plan on what's the rest of 2020 going to look for you guys?
Yeah, we absolutely have a game plan. So normally what we do is we have each event in a home city host location. So Illinois would fight Indiana and Illinois. Florida would fight Virginia and Virginia, that kind of thing.
Right.
We know that the states are going to open up in different at different times, different levels, some states before others. We can't count on that format this year. So what we plan to do for season four, whether it be the fourth quarter of 2020 or first quarter of 2021, that's left to be seen just because we don't know when the sports world will open. But we're going to do a studio show. We're going to bring all 12 teams to one location and fight all six first round events in the span of a weekend, record it for broadcast, and then release it week after week. And obviously, we're going to need our fighters and coaches to sign a non-disclosure agreement because we can't have the results, you know, out there and open. But similar to what the Ultimate Fighter
does, right? They'll be on Instagram Live. You know what I mean? Like taping each other.
I know. I'm going to have some kind of RF zapper or something. You know? But it's very similar to what the Ultimate Fighter does, right? That's pre-recorded and it's all kept a secret until it rolls on television. And we're going to have to do a very similar thing. The great thing about that is, it gives our sponsors an opportunity to buy in one time, get in all six events. It gives our broadcast sales team an opportunity to go, okay, here's all 12 events. Here's where they're going to happen. It's all going to happen in one place. We're going to be able to deliver this content on this date, and they can schedule it out versus having to sell each event one by one to either broadcasters or sponsors. So after doing this COVID version plan for the Elite Amateur Fight League, I think we may even stick with it. Like, it just gives us a lot of opportunity and a lot of it cuts a lot of costs, right? Instead of having six independent events, I have one weekend and I get all the content. If we can't sell tickets, which it looks like we're not going to be able to for probably a year, it takes the ticket sale piece out of it, right? We record it all in the studio and we still get to hit mass market on television, and it offers more of a value there. And so right now the plan is to have rounds 1-2 in a studio version, and hopefully have the final four in a live event type of showcase and have the national championship as a live event. If the world doesn't open up, we'll have to do it all under studio.
Right. No, that's awesome, brother. I love that idea. Another silver lining, the fights lately on the UFC have been amazing to hear the punches, to hear the commentary a little bit more. It's just been great. So there's been silver linings all through this, and that's just what we have to do right now. My man, CEO, founder, Elite Amateur Fight League, Jesse Nunez, take it away. Any kind of sponsor plugs or any way people can reach you? Are you looking for another couple of gyms? Maybe they'll see this or fighters will see this. So anything, all of that information, floor is yours, brother.
Awesome. So, you know, in season four, we're looking for 12 teams. We've got 10 of them, finalized, and we know they're coming back because there are teams that have competed in the past, but we're opening up our borders to other states, right? We're trying to find the best talent from across the country. If you're that guy, if you're that coach from a state that isn't being represented, hit us up, contact@eaflmma.com. You can apply via our website at the fighter application tab. And man, at the end of the day, I want the best talent in America to compete on television and amateur MMA. That's my goal. That's what we're going to do. And if you're that kid who wants to be on television because you're a 7-0 guy who's unrecognized out of, I don't know, Ohio, like we have the ability to put you on. So hit us up and make sure you apply. Coaches, obviously we're gonna always defer to you. We're always gonna call the coaches first before, you know, we finalize anything. But we're putting teams together now. So if you're a state or a fighter that's on that's not on the map right now, give us a call. As far as the league goes, WeFunder.com, everybody. If you want to become part owner of the league, go to WeFunder.com, search Elite Amateur Fight League. We're going to be opening, or that raise is open through the end of the year, but get in now because it is selling out. And we're hoping we can get as many fans as possible to become owners of the Elite Amateur Fight League in this first round of the raise. And lastly, look us up on YouTube, Facebook. You know, we've got great content out there. If you're starving for MMA content, we have a whole YouTube channel with all of season one and all of season two in the concept season ready to go and packaged for you to view. So go to our YouTube channel as well. But at the end of the day, man, I just want to thank you, Dave, for having me on. And I can't wait to have you cateside at an event.
Hey, soon. You never know, my man.
Never know. And awesome, Florida is one of those states that we're looking at because they're open for business.
We are. We love it. Huge Florida guy. I go to shows all the time. You know, Island Fights up there in the Panhandle. They're just great promotions. There's Combat Night in Orlando, Florida that does shows. XFN yeah. Down south by American Top Team. There's a lot of great promotions here in Florida. That's just to name a few. You know, there's one or two I missed. Don't get upset. A lot of great promotions here in Florida. But, man, I'm loving what you're doing. Anything to spotlight amateur MMA fighters for them to turn pro and turn to the next level and the best light they can be, I'm a fan. So I'm loving what you guys are doing. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely, Brad. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, become an owner, brother.
Hey. WeFunder.com. We're going right now.
There you go.